buddy, I bet you never guess who this is. You have to hesitate to think who it is, then your memory is a little weaker than I had hoped. Right now I'm in Ansan, Vietnam, number 2 spot in Vietnam. It used to be number 1 spot, but the place has slipped. They let it stand and slip, and they get kind of picky about little things, so it's only rated number 2 now by the fellas here. The weather has been real good as far as I'm concerned. 85 degrees out during the day, hot, with a cooling wind. Then at night the temperature drops. It turns into a real gusty wind. Right now we have typhoon warnings out, but I don't know if it's ever going to get here or not. The barracks itself has full-length windows, shall we say, with instead of making the wall all the way up to the ceiling, they just made it halfway and then put chicken wire over the other half. So when this wind comes through at night, it's pretty cold, so I got put up some plastic here now, like a lot of guys have done, and cuts it out. I still got air coming in over the top of the wall, but I cut out most of this. This is why I have a cold right now. If all things are cold in Vietnam, it happens. As I hope, well, let's put it this way, my letter better be there by now. I wrote when I first got here. I got over at the Cameron. Cameron, they sent me to the Trang, and the Trang, they sent me to Phu Hep. From Phu Hep, they sent me up here to the 196 at Ansan, which is outside of Quinyan. Quinyan's a large seaport out on the coast. Cameron was real nice, just as everybody had cracked it up to be. The Trang was a real garbage dump. I've got some pictures from there, and you can see for yourself. The camp in the Trang has no gates or perimeter or anything that normally distinguishes an army camp. It's just right in among the city. And if there had ever been a VC attack, the enemy would have just had to walk into the barracks, flip in a hand grenade, and hose the area down with automatic fire and walk out, because we only had 4 rifles in the company, and that would have hardly been adequate to take on an attack. The Trang, by the way, is the Rise on Garbage Detail, happens to be adjoining Camp McDermott, and Camp McDermott has a dump. It's just like being at home again, having a Camp McDermott dump, all sorts of choice items up there. I myself still want to go picking around, though. Flies, you never know. Vietnam has every disease known to man, and there's probably at least half of it in a garbage pile. When I went up to Phu Hep, we went by Chinook with gunners. That's where the war really began to notice that there's war going on in this country. You see those door gunners. And up Phu Hep, I met Jim Thorpe quite by accident. I was stumbling around in the dark trying to find a EM club so I could get myself something to drink. And who should happen to tap me on the shoulder but Jim Thorpe. So I was glad to see him. He was a 335th Combat Assault Group up there. His unit was just getting the armament put on their ships, and in about 12 days they were going to move down to the Delta. This, I tried to get into his group, but they don't honor requests. They just like to send you where they need you. And then, the next day I moved up here to Ansan. And this place has just Chinook cargo helicopters. All they carry is one door gunner plus the regular crew. So I guess I'll get to see my electronics, my miniguns, or any of the good stuff I spent 6 months setting for. I just set up my machine gun, fly around, pick up an extra $55 a month on flight pay. It's a good life, though. They haven't lost anybody. In fact, up to last week, they wouldn't have had anybody wounded. They had 5 guys wounded down at Bani 2, which is on the Cambodian border. They had a mortar shell go off right near their tent, and they all got hit. 4 guys got just real light wounds. Right now, they're just trying to pick the scabs off them so they'll scar up. You know, they have a war wound to show their friends when they get back. But the 5th guy, he made the bad mistake of standing up. When that shell went off, he just got all messed up. He's in intensive care right now, hospital, and when he gets out of there, they're going to move him to Japan and then back to the States. It's a heck of a way to get out of the war, though. By the way, Al Sozi and I part of company at Cameron. He went down to the Benoit area while I came north up to the Trang. I was glad I met him, though. There's a lot of things, you know, kind of lost when you're coming through this transit and they have people shouting and yelling. And we pooled our ideas, which formations to skip, which to attend, what to do and what not to do. Maybe we'll get to see him yet. I flew my first mission today. It lasted about 3.5-4 hours. What you do is you get the 2 guns. I have 1 gun and the crew chief mans the other gun. And you go out on sorties And they tell you what to do. We went up to the 173rd at English to fly four sorties. We went out in the field, picked up 100 bags of rice from the ARVN troops out there. And then we took them to another area and dropped them. And this was in thickly infested VC territory, so we had to be up on our guns. But again, in this outfit, there's only been one or two guys that ever had to fire their guns at any enemy, and that was just kind of wild shots. The Arvin troops, which are the South Vietnamese soldiers, have the habit of wearing a red scarf or some sort of red armband in their epaulette or on their right arm, and I don't know what the purpose is, but you can see them from the air a long ways away, and I'm sure on the ground you'll be able to see them for a goodly distance. I know if I was VC, that's what I'd be shooting for. Sometimes we'd be flying ammunition, and when the day is done, they could clean the guns up, put them away, even if I didn't choose them, because they get all dirty from sand and grit flying around in the air. I wear a flak vest, which is about an inch of plating or steel. It's supposed to be able to stop a 30 caliber bullet at 100 yards. I wear a flight helmet with visor, take along my M16, 140 rounds of ammo, 1200 rounds machine gun ammo. I wear well protected. The crew chief carries an M79 grenade launcher. The pilots have 45 caliber pistols. Even if we ever get knocked out, we're going to be well armed to meet the enemy. At Ansan, this camp has never been mortared or attacked. This is due largely for those Koreans that are sitting on every hill within sight of here. Thank God for Koreans, because they fight a mean, no-nonsense war with no rules. We have to play around with these stupid little rules. They go out, and if Vietnamese looks cross at them, they shoot them. And they moved into the area. They took a couple prisoners there, and they so butchered their bodies. I guess they're pretty horrible to look at. They left them out on the road as future signs for show VC what was going to happen to them if they get caught. So this place has been secure. It's probably more secure than Cameron. But I got a hunch we're going to get hit this year at Tet. And anybody who was here last year for the Tet Offensive still speaks about awe in their voice with that boy. They really had him scared. And this year with his bombing halter, Charlie's Russian supplies down in the south, so I got a hunch we'll probably get hit January, February. Last night, in fact, there was some VC out in the fields north of here. I woke up about 1 o'clock when these huge explosions were going off. I couldn't figure out what the heck if we were getting mortared, and then I heard all these guys rushing out looking, so I went outside and you could see these gunships in the air circling, and they'd be firing rockets and then miniguns. Explosions were taking about 10 seconds to reach us, so I don't know what the exact distance would be, 1,000 yards off. But it was really impressive at night, those rockets and then the tracer ammunition being fired. Later on, they had a B-52 come overhead and circle and drop some bombs. It's pretty impressive. I don't know if they actually were any VC down there. Koreans like to put on a good show every now and then, middle of the night, I'm told. They'll just start shooting at anything. I've talked with some of the guys here, and they've pulled some pretty crazy stunts since they've been here. One guy went down to Quinion, and when he came back, he went to the wrong post. So rather than trying to get a ride back, he just walked back through all these hooches and villages around here. That's pretty risky way to live. Anybody could have stepped out and shot him, just a lone GI on the road with no rifle, no weapon of any sort. Another guy got all messed up, drunk down at Quinion one night, and he walked back. And at night, walking on the roads is, well, that's another sure way to die, because there's Korean patrols out, and at night Koreans shoot at anything. And he got pretty close within couple of Korean patrols, but nobody spotted them. The barracks, or hooches as they're called here, are divided up with plywood walls and the two-man rooms. This is pretty nice over here. I gotta say, boy, it's a lot better than the States living in the lousy barracks. If you're in the room, anything is legal as long as you don't put a door on the room. That's the only limitation. The rest is up to your imagination. My roommate here made a desk. Pretty nice desk. You scrounged your wood up from somewhere. Last night I got two wooden boxes at the mortars, not mortar, but rather rocket ammunition comes in. About 4 foot tall, 2 feet wide, and I made a double wall locker out of it and put all my rifle, field gear, helmet, flight gear into it, and put a padlock on it, of course. Other guys got refrigerators in their rooms, stoves, hot plates, stereo systems, made your own cabinets, anything goes, you know, just your own personality is reflected in your room. You have mosquito netting on the beds, you don't have to use it, but I've been using mine lately, I put it up. Then you put pictures on the walls, paint on the walls. It's your prerogative. Then every fella here has a hooch maid too, and she comes in, shines your shoes, makes your bed, washes your clothes, supposed to iron them. Today I'll have to have words with mine. Tomorrow she ripped the unit patch off my fatigues, and I just had them sewn on, so it just couldn't have come off in the wash. When they wash these things, I never stick around to see where mine are washed, but see other guys closing, they take them out on the rocks and beat them in the water. Yeah, I know that we're not getting real clean, but it's the best they can do over here. For this service, I pay $10 a month. These little hooch maids, too, you gotta watch them. They'll steal anything that's not nailed down. So I never leave anything out. Some guys have had some stuff stolen. But these maids undergo 3 shakedown inspections before they get off the post, so they really search them over every night. They'll do once in the company area, once at the gate, and once when they let them off at the truck. So they don't get away too much, but if they have anything big, they'll find a way to get it off post. All these girls, by the way, are baby sons. They're about 12, 14 years old. And then there's one mama son in charge. Papa son, he runs the gook shop up on the hill. That's a tailor and barber shop. And if you ever want anything, the gook shop is the place to go. Papa san's stealing, pass the big savings on to you. However, he'll probably tack on a few bucks for his own profit. So, oh, this day I was here, I went in the Quinyon with a couple other fellows on the truck so I could go down to finance and in processing. Quinyon's a central in processing area for this area. And they also pay you finance, so I got $45 there. This is usually an all-day process, but there wasn't many people there, so I only spent 2.5-3 hours. Then from there we went to the Quinyon Main Exchange, and this has to be seen to be appreciated. They've got a whole counter full of tape recorders and amplifiers, tuners, things, you know, that I'm interested in. And, of course, with the big savings, too. And guys will be coming in there, and they'll look at it, and, yeah, give me 2 of these, and it cost $125 a piece, $200. People come in and buy 2-3 of these. That, I'm not sure how they do buy 2 or 3, because these things are rationed. But some are and some aren't. I don't know what determines what is. Sometimes you have to show your ration cards, and other times you don't. I know one fellow I was with bought one Sony for $134, but I just look right then. What you can do is buy them through the PX here, and then have them shipped directly home. I'll never even see them. Or you can have it shipped here, and then use it during the time you're here. The only disadvantage I see it there is that means you've got to pack it and crate it, and if you happen to move out suddenly, then you're stuck with it. Yeah, I don't know how you'd move it. So if I never buy one, I'll just have it sent straight home. I probably got a tape deck too, rather than a regular tape recorder. We can use it through the stereo, and I know one thing, our stereo is definitely set up for it. You don't have to re-rig it or have the man come out and look at it. That's what the little jacks are for in the back of the set. As long as I'm on the subject, what is that? Tech tape recorder, that's TEAC model A4010S cost. Call up Wax. I think they handle that brand. It's a well-known brand in the United States. And find out what a coin cost to that would be. It's a tape deck. It looks like a pretty good one, and you're going to have it ordered through the PX and then send it home. It's beginning to rain right now during the monsoon season like it is now. I guess we're in the middle of it from what people tell me. It rains several times a day also, and big cloud bursts and rain hard for 10 minutes, you know, just like it was. World was ready to end. Then she'll stop real suddenly. Right now it's beginning to act up. This is around 6 o'clock at night. We just had a formation out in the rain, so our good first sergeant could whip the word on us about a few items that have been bothering him. We have 2 formations a day, 7 o'clock in the morning and 1 o'clock in the afternoon. There's none at night, which is nice. By the way, before this tape runs out, when this side runs out, just reverse the reels and play the other side of the tape. The posted on sign is real nice. We've got a outdoor theater here, and on the top of it, instead of CinemaScope, they got VietnaVision. I've got a picture of this, and then outside there's a Coke stand, which is dubbed the A&W Root Beer Stand. We've got a EM Club here, which caters to the enlisted man. Yes, they have shows there every couple of weeks. Anybody owes cigarettes, beer, Coke. No food, though. They've been trying to get food there, but right now you can't buy any real food there. You can get a pizza and some potato chips, but that's the extent of it. They also have slot machines and all the PXs over here. Just good old genuine one-armed bandits. And, of course, you can't play these things with military script, because everything over here is script. 5 cents, there's a note for that. Penny, there's a note for that. Well, wait, there's no penny. That's just kind of...